The Jag Bros are back. We have a short week, which is tough for the team, but it's great news for Jaguars fans because it means the Jaguars are playing Thursday night against the Saints. Hey, guys, are y'all ready for some Jags football in the middle of the week?
It's tough for the team. It's also tough for us. We've been scrambling trying to get two podcasts in a short amount of time to get it out for you guys.
I'm ready. I love me a game during the week, something to look forward to, break up the monotony of the week and work. So I have something to look forward to this Thursday. Very excited.
I'm with you, Joey. I love Thursday night football. It is fun. We'll be, of course, on national TV. So this is a big opportunity for us to continue the win streak and for the Jaguars to potentially start 5-2 for the first time since 2007. So this could be a historic start for the Jaguars. And so we're going to run through our usual rundown, our usual breakdown of the preview. And so we are going to cover what it's going to look like for our offense going up against the Saints defense. And then we're going to flip fields and talk about our defense versus the Saints offense. We're going to give you each of our offensive and defensive keys to how the Jaguars can pull out the W on Thursday. And then we're going to give you our predictions of what each of us think the final score will be. So, Joey, kick us off with our offense going up against the Saints defense.
Yes. All righty. So the Saints defense is actually a pretty good defense. Looks quite a bit like our defense. They're very good against the run. They give up a little bit in the pass, but their front seven has been very good against the run. It's going to be difficult for our offensive line and for ETN to get the ball moving. So we're going to need our offensive line to kind of bow up, especially if Trevor Lawrence ends up playing on his knee. He's going to need better protection so he can last a little longer in there.
Yeah, that's the big story is Trevor Lawrence. We still don't know. Overall, the report has been pretty good that he has avoided any major injury. But especially on a short week, it still feels like a 50-50 game time call, whether or not Trevor Lawrence goes. And almost certainly if he does not go, that means we'll have CJ Beathard in. He's been our number two guy. I do think we'll activate Nathan Rorick in case we do need a third quarterback in this game. Especially if Trevor can't go, I think you'll see Nathan Rorick take over backup duties. And this Saints defense is really good. They've had some strong games. In fact, they shut out the Patriots 2 weeks ago, which the Patriots look horrible, but still their stats overall for the Saints have been strong. They're currently top 10 in both run and pass defense, and they're six overall in terms of defensive scoring. And so they're only giving up about 16 points a game, where the Jaguars offense are currently averaging nearly 24 points a game. So a big gap, which just means this is going to be a tough battle if we have Lawrence or not. If we don't have him, it's going to be a very tough battle for our offense.
Yeah, the Saints have only given up one rushing touchdown all year. They're top five or top 10 in just about every single category. So statistically speaking, they are better than the Jaguars defense so far. Red zone scoring, third down defense, fourth down defense, pretty much any category you look, they're going to be top five or top 10 in that. There's one category, however, that they are actually below average and well below average, which should, in fact, favor the Jaguars a little bit, and that is sacks and quarterback pressures. So despite the fact that they're very good at stopping the run and pretty solid across the entire board, they're not getting pressure on the quarterback thus far this year. Now, despite the fact that all those stats are really, really good, if you actually drill into the teams that the Saints have played thus far, there's a little bit of noise in that. You played against the Titans, who we've seen are not a top half of the league passing or rushing attack thus far this year. The Panthers, who are probably the worst team in the NFL. The Packers, who have been up and down thus far. The Buccaneers, who I think have played a little bit better as of late, and they shut down a Patriots team that looks like they're in free fall right now. So on paper, this Saints team is potentially very good and one of the top defenses. I think over the course of the year, you'll see some regression back to the mean for them because I don't think they have a ton of top end talent. Cameron Jordan, there's a couple other guys that they have that are pretty solid. but it's just not a great spot for this Jags offense, especially considering the injuries that we have. Zay Jones has already been ruled out. Walker Little is most likely out. And from what we're reading Monday afternoon, Trevor Lawrence is not trending in the right direction. And so obviously his ability to go or not will certainly determine how the Jaguars offense looks thus far.
Well, I don't know where you heard he's not trending in the right direction, because that's just not true. He's day to day. The scan was completely clean. And Doug Peterson's just not telling us anything, because he knows the more that you don't tell the Saints, the better. That means the time that they're going to spend trying to watch CJ Beathard film or whatnot is just going to be a waste of time, because I do think that Trevor will be ready to go for this game. But let's get back a little bit to the defense of the Saints. They're also an opportunistic defense. They're coming in with 8 interceptions, second in the whole NFL league right now. So if Trevor's not playing, that's really bad for CJ Beathard. I'd be scared about that. But if we have Trevor Lawrence back there, then I think he'll take care of the ball and we won't have those turnovers.
Well, and when you look at the secondary in particular, you've got to watch out for two elite guys on this Saints defense. Number one is Marshon Lattimore. Even though he is early on in his career, he's already proved to be an elite shutdown corner. You'll probably see him line up a lot against Ridley. And so that's going to be a matchup that I don't like the Jaguars in. So I really want to see Kirk and Ingram, who've been really strong for us the last several games, to really carry the offense, especially passing attack wise. And then the other guy you have to watch out for is going to be Tyrann Mathieu, a little bit older, but definitely a veteran presence, a ball hawk safety that has a lot of talent. And whoever's quarterback needs to know where these two guys are on the field, because Joey, it's a good point that both these guys can take away the ball. And so I think we should cover the hypothetical. Let's just say Trevor Lawrence is not able to play. What do you think the Jaguars' offensive attack looks like with CJ Beathard?
That's really scary, because it feels like it's going to have to be a lot of short stuff. To your point, Jack, the number one receivers the Saints have been able to shut down pretty much every single game thus far this year. They're also top five against tight ends right now in receptions and yardage. Now, they haven't played the toughest tight ends thus far, but I think Ingram could certainly outperform what they've done statistically, but that is concerning as well. So I think it's probably a Christian Kirk game. I think it's also going to be a lot of dump off passes to ETN, especially if we have Beathard playing, who is not necessarily have the strongest of arms.
I agree with JT. If CJ Beathard ends up having to play, that it's probably going to be a much shorter field game. A lot of dump off passes to ETN, getting Evan Ingram and Britton Strange, I feel like he would get him involved a little bit more as well, trying to hit the tight ends and get it over the middle, just quick, easy passes, not doing anything too dangerous with the ball, which is smart with how opportunistic this defense is. Bringing in Nathan Rourke, I mean, to be honest, I kind of hope that they give him a shot as well, because I think he could have a better shot at beating the Saints than CJ Beathard does. I don't think that's going to happen. They love CJ Beathard. That's what they'll stick with. But I do think that it could be opportunistic for the Jaguars to play Nathan Rourke.
Yeah. See, backup quarterbacks really over the last couple of weeks have some great games. You saw Cleveland come in and beat the 49ers with a backup quarterback. You've seen several other guys, including Gardner Minshew, step in and play admirably. I think you'll probably see a decent performance from Beathard. And this is a Saints offense, which we'll get to here in a second, that's probably going to be scoring in the mid-teens. So if you can just find ways to manufacture drives, manufacture points, and and potentially rely on McManus's strong leg just to keep you in this game, could go a long way.
If CJ Beathard ends up playing, I feel like this is going to be a field goal driven offense.
For sure. And it's going to be an ETN heavy offense, which we've already pointed out. And you know what's crazy? I just saw this stat today that Travis Etienne has the most touches currently in the NFL with 134. So at some level, it's almost like you can't get him more involved in the offense. But especially if Trevor is not suited up and is not playing, you feel like he almost has to get more touches, and hopefully because he's getting more touches, I think you see more from Tank and from D'Ernest Johnson, who did have a nice 20-yard run in this last game as well.
I would also like to see ETN pull out that wildcat again that he scored the touchdown on last week. That was really beautiful, and I think that we could really use that with Trevor kind of being hurt. Get ETN and then put D'Ernest Johnson or Tank next to him and start running a little bit of wildcat, something that maybe no one has film on. Let's just see how that rolls with the Saints.
I would not be surprised if this game we see 1-2 trick style plays from Doug and Press Taylor. This is a type of game where it feels like you're going to have to manufacture points. It feels like you're going to have to manufacture drives, especially when a lot of your weapons are either banged up or potentially stifled by some of the better players on the Saints defense.
Yeah, and just one more person to watch out for the Jaguars offense. You brought up a great point earlier, JT, that the Saints pass rush is their weakness of the defense. The only exception so far has been Carl Granderson, who is having a career year. He's actually about to go ahead and top his career total, or sorry, his season high for sacks. And he already has 4.5 sacks, 7 tackles for a loss. So really, he is the only guy that's really produced much of a pass rush. So our offensive tackles need to know and need to lock up Granderson in this game.
Awesome. And with that, we're going to switch sides of the field. So we're going to see and break down the Jaguars defense versus the Saints offense. The Saints offense is led by Derek Carr, who is certainly a league veteran at this point, and he is what he is. He's 32 years old. He's played on a couple of different teams. He's a solid quarterback who has the ability to hit some big plays. In fact, the Saints are one of the top 5 teams for explosive passing with multiple, I think, 6 or 7 plays of 40 yards or longer in the passing game. So they have some explosive players on the outside as well. So Chris Olave is a year 2 guy out of Ohio State, had a breakout rookie year. He's also playing very well this year. And then Rashid Shaheed is a guy who's starting to emerge as a deep threat speedster for them. I think he had 2 catches, but for 85 yards and a touchdown last week against the Texans. And then you still have an aging Michael Thomas in the middle, catching some of those 3rd and 4 first down chain moving guys, very similar to what Michael Pittman's role was that hurt us heavily in the 2 games we played against the Colts. So where are you confident about our defense, or where are you concerned about what the Saints are bringing to the table?
I'm concerned a little bit with the secondary, with Campbell being out most likely for this game. And that means we're going to have to roll with Buster Brown, who really didn't play very well last game. He got picked on quite a bit by the Colts, and I think the Saints are only going to pick on him more if that's who we end up going with. But we'll see, because I know Doug Peterson talked about how we do have Tavon Campbell and Eric Hallett still on the practice squad. And then we also just signed another cornerback, a veteran, Amani Oruwani, cornerback that used to play for the Lions, who had a really good 2021 season. He had 6 interceptions and 57 total tackles. Didn't play very well in the 2022 season, but he also got injured. So I think that's a really good signing that he could end up being a prolific part of filling in for Campbell.
Yeah, and the good news on the injury front is that Devon Hamilton, one of our defensive tackles, was a full participant on Monday. So there is certainly a high potential that we could see him back out on the field. And then another guy, this is much more of a question mark, much more of a wild card, who has been on IR, is Gregory Jr. And so he has the potential. He actually had the potential to come back last Sunday off IR, and he still hasn't. So still a question mark, but maybe, because the secondary is going to be the big challenge. I have a lot of confidence in our front 7. Even with the Saints getting Kamara back from that suspension, they still have not been able to run the ball really well. And so I love our run defense in this game. The pass defense has me a little nervous, though.
Yeah, this is a team that scores average around 17, 18 points per game. So they're not going to run you out of the building. And if you can put some game pressure on them and take an early lead, which we've seen some of the other teams do, if you're up 2 scores early on, that's where the Saints really struggle, because even though they have explosive ability, they have actually five plays over 40 yards and 17 over 20 yards in the passing game, only behind the Dolphins as far as explosive plays. They're not very successful down to down, which you would expect them to be a little bit more with Michael Thomas and with Kamara coming back off of suspension. And Kendre Miller is a rookie who's also been battling some of his own injuries. They just haven't been clicking as well as I think some of the Saints were hoping that they would, especially with, I believe Carmichael was the offensive coordinator under Sean Payton back when the Saints were very successful. So it's a team that, even if they take a lead, should not be running you out of the building.
No. And also something to be looking at is that Carr has already been sacked 17 times coming into this game. And they also just lost their right tackle to concussion, which means that their offensive line is going to be even weaker. So this could be a chance for Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker to have stellar games again. We really are going to need him to bring pressure and Josh Allen to wreak some havoc on Derek Carr.
That's a great point, Joey. This Saints team is also coming off a short rest, and their offensive line is very beat up. So they have three of their starting offensive linemen who did not practice Monday, who have been, several of them been out recently, and then another guy who is a limited participant. Now, that's not a guarantee that our pass rush is going to be amazing, because we saw the Houston Texans have a ton of injuries and we did not touch CJ Stroud at all. But when it comes to opportunity, if we want to do well in this game, our guys are Josh Allen, Walker, maybe even Chase on. Let's go ahead and triple that season sack total. But one of these guys has to really get after Carr and get multiple sacks for us to do well in this game.
I'd like to see Smoot get a few more snaps as well. He did well against the Colts. I think having a few more days of rest and everything, that he could get a few more snaps in there. And I'd like to see him get on the sack board as well.
Yeah, and the one thing I will call out, though, about the Texans is, since they made some of the offensive line transitions and since the Jacksonville Jaguar game, they played four times and only given up two sacks. So I'm starting to think more and more that that was less of a barometer of, hey, we might actually be really bad at pass rush, in the fact that the Texans might have actually stumbled into a really good situation with this makeshift offensive line.
100%. That's super interesting. That's crazy how well the Texans are playing right now and how well Stroud is doing, because you typically don't see a rookie quarterback get sacked that little, even with a good offensive line. But one more guy that, when we look at their offense, that is a guy that you have to put a big asterisk around, and you mentioned him earlier, JT, but Chris Olave, especially with Campbell being out, this is going to be a big game for Darius Williams to step up. And I think you're going to see a little bit of safety help, especially from Cisco on Olave, because year one, his rookie year, he was already over 1,000 yards. And currently he's at 414 yards, well on his way to a 12, 13, 1400 yard season. So he is the big difference maker on the Saints offense that we have to lock down.
If I were the defensive coordinator, I would be employing a lot more two high safety looks. Try to limit their big plays. Try to give extra help over the top to Darius Williams, who has been playing at a Pro Bowl level, but I don't know if he's as fast as he used to be. And so the Olave match really scares me, considering we don't have Campbell on the other side of the field. And you could be either starting Buster Brown or a different guy who might have been on the street just a few days ago. So I would expect us to try to be content giving up a lot of underneath stuff, as long as we're not giving away some of the big plays.
I think another idea for the secondary that they could roll out with is moving Trey Herndon, who's played really well this year, move him outside, and then make Antonio Johnson, the starting nickel, take his spot just for this game, and see how Antonio Johnson does as a starting nickel. And also, how does Trey Herndon do on the outside? I know that's not his forte, but I think that he's definitely better than Buster Brown and maybe even the other practice squad people.
Yeah, good point, Joey. And now let's look at our keys to the game, specifically the keys for the Jaguars to bring home this victory on Thursday. And real quick, we encourage you to interact with us on Twitter and Instagram. We'll drop the links in the episode description because we want to hear from you too. What do you think the keys are for the Jaguars to win? We want to hear your prediction as well. But I'm going to turn it over to you guys, Joey and JT. And what is the offensive and the defensive key for the Jaguars to win this game against the Saints?
So for the offensive keys, I have two different ones because I'm going to do one with Trevor as the starting quarterback and one without Trevor. The first key with Trevor is going to be just staying healthy and making sure that you don't give away the ball and don't push it too hard. I don't think we need to go out and score 37 points against this Saints team like we just did against the Colts. I think if we play our ball and kind of just control the game, that will be the best thing for us. And then without Trevor, I think that CJ Beathard is going to just get it to the Saints side and let Brandon McManus score our points, because I'm scared that he may give the ball over a little bit, especially with the 8 interceptions that the Saints defense is coming in with.
So here's some interesting stats for you. So when the Vegas line opened up on Sunday afternoon, it was a pick'em game. Currently, it's at +3 for the Jaguars. So that means New Orleans is favored by 3 points. And the total of the game has gone from 42 to 39. So that means the Jaguars' implied team total is right around 17 points. If I'm reading this, that means Vegas, at least right now, is thinking there's a very good chance Trevor does not play. And so I think it's wise, Joey, to talk about the fact that what is our offense look like with CJ Beathard versus with Trevor. The other thing that I saw was that since Doug Peterson took over this team, Jacksonville is actually 9-6 straight up while listed as an underdog. So that means not only are they covering the spread when they're playing as an underdog, but they're actually winning outright. So it also speaks to like how difficult this Jaguars team has been able to assess and evaluate week over week, because at times it feels like, hey, this is a game that if this was at a different point in the season or a different scenario or potentially at home, I feel pretty confident that Jacksonville will win. But the fact that, hey, it'll be 3 games in 11 days, in 3 different cities, one of those in a completely different country scares me. All of those things scare me. I think for my keys to the game, I'm actually going to go special teams. I think we're going to need to see 1 to 2 great special teams plays, whether it's from Agnew, whether it's a 55-plus yard kick from McManus. I think that is going to be a potential play of the game. And then defense, it's just limiting the big plays and still getting and manufacturing 2 or more turnovers.
Yeah, I think my offensive key here is that both these offenses are probably going to want to do the same thing. They're going to want to battle. They're going to want to establish the run early. They're going to want to own the time of possession. And so for me, offensively, the key is going to be that the Jaguars are able to win that battle, that we're able to have more rushing yards than the Saints, and that we're to own the time of possession. Because I've said this before, sometimes the best defense is a good offense, and sometimes the best offense is a good defense. And so defensively, I think we need to make several big plays. We need to do what we do best, which is create turnovers and force turnovers. And so I think we need to see at least 3 turnovers, especially if Trevor Lawrence is not out there. So I'm banking on our defense to have a big game Thursday night.
Yes, the defense needs to come to play. We've relied on them actually quite a bit this entire season. And we need that not to change right now. Especially with how banged up the offense is, the defense is going to have to perform. I'm going to give my key for victory for the defense. It's going to be on Josh Allen. I need him to affect Derek Carr as much as possible with the secondary kind of missing Campbell and everything. We need him to not have any time to throw the ball, make mistakes, and let the safeties or Williams go and make some more picks. But it's going to be very important for Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker to go in there and affect Derek Carr.
All right. With that, it's time for some score predictions. Last week, Joey, you predicted a blowout victory for the Jaguars against the Colts, which turned out that was much more closer to accurate than either one of our predictions. I picked a close 2-point victory for the Colts, and Jack, you actually picked an outright loss for the Jaguars at home against the dreaded Indianapolis Colts. So what do we have this week? And yes, you can give two scores if Trevor's playing or if Trevor is not playing.
Well, I'll get us started with that abysmal prediction last week. Embarrassed that I picked the Colts.
Boo.
Boo, was, tomato.
Was totally wrong and love to see us just dominate, have a big win, a 10-point win. And this is a tough game, but this is also a very tough game for the Saints. Both the teams have a quick turnaround. Both the teams are battling several injuries. And this is a different Jaguars team. Traditionally, the Jaguars don't play all that well on national TV. But again, this is a different Jaguars team. Going into that Colts game, I was nervous because, hey, you've been in London for a long time. You're coming off a huge emotional win against the Bills. And what do? They show up and show out and have a huge win against the Colts. And I think this Jaguars team is special. I think even without Trevor, our defense makes a big play. I think we get a touchdown off our defense. And I think we show this to the world that this team is legit. We go win 4 straight games and we take home the W, beating the Saints in New Orleans 24-14.
Let's go. Where's the optimism we've been waiting for, Jack?
Is that with Trevor or without Trevor, or is it doesn't even matter?
Doesn't even matter. But Joey's confidence is rubbing off on me. I think we take home a double-digit victory with or without Trevor playing.
Let's go. I will go ahead and start with my predictions then. I do have 2 different predictions, one with Trevor, one without Trevor. My first prediction, I am with you on a double-digit victory if Trevor is playing. I have the Jags at 28-0. The Saints having 17. And then without Trevor, I think it's a really close game. I think it's a field goal game. I think the Saints don't get into the end zone. I don't think we get into the end zone. And I think it's going to be 13-9. Jags win with a big kick from Brandon McManus.
Boy, 2 safeties. If neither team gets into the end zone, I'm not sure how we got to 13 there.
Well, no, we do get 1 pick 6.
Okay. So the offense doesn't score a touchdown. I think that describes where my head's at too. It's my head says this is probably a loss. But as I said against the Falcons game, this is a heart pick. This is a pick that this team could be different. This team is different. I think this is a game that comes down to who's the better quarterback. And if Trevor's playing, I think we'll be down 13-17. Midway through the fourth quarter, and Trevor leads us to victory on a fourth quarter drive, winning the game 20-17. If it's CJ Beathard and we're down 13-17 in the fourth quarter as well, I think Derek Carr is probably the better quarterback between those two. And I think the Jaguars come up short then 13-17. So either way, it's going to be a low scoring game. It's going to be a game where you should be in it regardless. But I like us to win if Trevor plays. I don't feel confident if Trevor's not playing.
Or third alternative, CJ Beathard gets hurt in that game and Nathan Rourke comes in and he's the hero. And we are talking next week about Nathan Rourke being the Jaguars MVP yet again, just like the preseason.
For those that missed, Joey was riding the Nathan Rourke bandwagon big time. And I think Joey would predict maybe a 30 or 40-point total if Nathan Rourke's out there.
I was just about to say, I'll go ahead and throw out a third prediction. If CJ Beathard goes ahead and gets hurt in the first quarter and Nathan Rourke plays this game, I think we win 38-13.
Oh, my goodness. The best quarterback in the world.
I think that he tears it up